Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." It may seem strange that I have read this account of the ministry of the Apostle Paul during the 3 Sabbath days in Thessalonica. But it is extremely instructive to compare the historic narratives of the Acts with the epistles afterward written to the saints in the same places. I have read these verses for the sake of 2 special thoughts contained in them. First, that there was a crucified, dead, and risen Christ preached by the Apostle to them. And second, that there was to be a reigning Christ by and by, another King, one Jesus. This we may gather from verse 7. Its suitability, too, is apparent when we think of those whom he addressed, namely, Jews who were familiar with the hopes of a glorious reigning Messiah, and who were instructed in the Scriptures which so spoke. The basis, then, of the thoughts I desire to present here is, as to the past, a suffering, dead, and risen Christ. As to the present, the association of the people of God with him in a pathway of suffering and rejection. And as to the future, his coming again in glory, and taking to him his great power to reign, and our association with him in his glory. Now there is an immense reach between the first and the last of these thoughts. He has suffered, died, and risen again, and gone on high to receive for himself a kingdom, and he will return to take it in power and great glory. You will find that the 2 epistles to the Thessalonians fill up the great gap, if we may so term it, between the past sufferings of Christ and his future glory. You will anticipate from this that I am about to speak a little about the coming of the Lord, as the great event which will bring about all this glory for which he waits and we wait. It is near, beloved brethren. The heart feels conscious that it is so, and the present action of the Holy Spirit marks it as very close at hand. You will find that when redemption is accomplished and the Holy Spirit is dwelling here, there are 2 thoughts brought before us very prominently in the New Testament, both very different in character, yet very closely allied. That is, the coming and the appearing of the Lord Jesus. I may remark as to the expression, the coming of the Lord, that it means his presence in contrast with his absence. And it is a large and comprehensive word as so used, reaching from what is known to many of us as the rapture of the saints, to be forever with the Lord, and continuing through the interval which follows, till his appearing with his saints in glory. The word coming embraces both thoughts, while the appearing is the shining forth of his coming when he will be displayed in glory to the world. That word coming is often used for this event, the appearing, but this last word is never used for the coming. His coming, or presence in contrast to his absence, embraces many details which he will accomplish in the interval, till his open manifestation to the world, when every eye shall see him coming with 10,000s of his saints. Many of my brethren whom I address know that Christ is presented in the gospel narratives in 4 distinct ways,